Today we remember. On this day, 100 years ago, was the hardest and the best moment of humanity. The waging of war and the ceasing of war. And we are always capable of both. For most of us, we remember because we have heard secondhand stories, though some of us sitting here have actually experienced war. Sirens, bombings, gunshots, wireless broadcasts, and later the radio, food rations, families separated for protection. And one of the ways we choose to remember is by wearing this poppy. It's a reminder of the end of war, the flower, or as botanists tell us, the weed that grows after the tumult that churns up the soil. Life that is generated after death. And it is tempting today to think in broad sweeps of generalities, to think about those soldiers, those nurses, those chaplains, a treaty signed and a white flag waved. But there are particularities that need remembering, stories that linger in memoirs and in the minds and bodies of those who continue to live. Those who experienced the worst of humanity. Perhaps it is the ones who continue to live, the ones who are left behind after tragedy, that have it the hardest. Not only do they hold these traumatic memories in their mind, but psychology also tells us about survivors' guilt. For the soldiers who live in return, for the families that survive following the loss of loved ones, we grapple to understand why we live when others' lives have ended. There is a song that expresses this really well. How many of you watched the film Les Miserables that came out a couple of years ago, the musical? Anybody? A few hands? Victor Hugo's Les Miserables was put into a musical, and there is a piece in the musical that describes this survival following war well. Marius was wounded in battle and carried away from the battle zone, but his friends were not so fortunate, and he sings these words, "There is a grief that cannot be spoken. There is a pain that goes on and on. Empty tables and empty chairs. Now my friends are dead and gone. Oh, my friends, forgive me that I live and you are gone. Phantom faces at the window, phantom shadows on the floor, empty chairs at empty tables. Where my friends will meet no more." These are the memories that linger in the minds and bodies of us who continue to live. In our first reading, we heard a story of two women. And the story jumps to the end, where we get to hear of the goodness that enters Naomi's life. But it's kind of like the poppies at the end of a war. There is a story of courage and pain to be told. A story of two women who suffered because of the death of their partners. The loss of the possibility of income. They became refugees and returned to their land as their last hope. Naomi, her name means sweetness. And when she had left the land of Judah with her husband Elimelech, They were in search of food after a famine had taken hold of the land. And she was sweet at that time, and she was filled with courage, the mother of two sons. And they traveled to an unknown land in search of safety. This is a courageous journey because in the land of Moab, Naomi lost her husband, and after him, her two sons died, and she was left behind. She remained alive to fend for herself and her two foreign daughters-in-law in a land she knew nothing about. The Jewish Midrash actually calls Ruth and Naomi the walking dead, for they had nothing left, no land, no money, no direct family, and no way to earn money. Widows in this time of our world. And Naomi's words in Ruth chapter 1 reflect this. She says, I went away full, and God has brought me back empty. And she's trying to make sense of a senseless situation. It is great suffering when we have known joy, known love, known plenty, known pleasure, and it is removed from us. It is the intermingling of memories of past delights and past tragedies that is our greatest suffering, a contrast of fullness and emptiness. And so Naomi arrives in Judah and she announces, "Do not call me sweetness. Call me bitterness. Call me Mara." What a valid response in the face of such loss. My previous parish, I got to know a refugee family, and there was this young Syrian boy. And on Canada Day night, he could not be found anywhere. And he was actually hiding under his bed because the fireworks that usually amaze 8-year-old boys brought back memories of the war that he had experienced in his young life. And his mother wept for her son. Once such a contented child, she said, and now she feels helpless. Her loss is great. Sweetness to bitterness in the face of tragedy. Naomi is a woman in process, though. Once sweet, through a tragedy found bitterness. And then she lives honestly before her people and before her God with courage. She shares what is really going on. And it takes courage to be honest about the pain of our internal world. Theologian Paul Tillich writes that the courage to be, to simply be, is an expression of faith. Being in spite of anxiety, being in spite of uncertainty, being in the face of death, this is faith. It takes courage to carry on. It takes courage to trust God. It takes courage to cry. It takes courage to cry out to people and to God. Last year, I sat at the bedside of my good friend's little boy, my godchild, as he slipped away from our world. He had endured a courageous battle with cancer. He was 8 years old, and I was so deeply sad, I had no words. climbed into the car, and as I drove home from Canuck Place, the sadness in me turned into raging anger, as it does. And I remembered what an old Scottish preacher had once told me. Take courage, Sharon. Vent your grief into the bosom of God. Cry deeply into God's chest. God can take it. This is faith. So I yelled, and I screamed, and I protested, and I pounded the dashboard. Thank goodness I was in a car. Somehow I hoped that God would hear my cry. And when I got home, I was exhausted, and I lit a candle, and I flicked open a poem that was given to me years before. And I want to share it with you today. It is rather long, so bear with me. But I have found that when I have no words, poetry helps. These are the words of Anna McKenzie. And so we must begin to live again. We of damaged bodies and assaulted minds, starting from scratch with the rubble of our lives and picking up the dust of dreams once dreamt. And we stand there naked in our vulnerability, proud of starting over, fighting back, but full of weak humility at the awesomeness of the task. We, without a future, safe, defined, delivered, now salute you, God. Nothing, knowing that nothing is safe, secure, inviolable here, except you. And even that eludes our minds at times. And we hate you and we love you, and our anger is as strong as our pain, and our grief is as deep as oceans, and our need as great as mountains. So as we take our first few steps forward into the abyss of the future, we would pray for courage to go places for the first time and just be there. Courage to become what we have not been before and accept it. Bravery to look deep within our souls to find new ways. We did not want it easy, God, but we did not contemplate that it would be quite this hard, this long, this lonely. So, if we are to be turned inside out and upside down, and even our pockets shaken just to check what's rattling and left behind, we pray that you will keep faith with us, and we with you, holding our hands as we weep, giving us strength to continue, and showing us beacons along the way to becoming new. We are not fighting you, God, even if it feels like it, but we need your help and your company as we struggle on, fighting back and starting over. And when the time was right, Naomi takes up her courage and acts. And she calls to Ruth and she says, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you, so that it may be well with you." She uses the Hebrew word menoach, and it is the word we translate security or resting place. And the rabbis remind us it is the same word used when Noah was in the ark and he held a dove. And he set the dove free to test the waters after the flood. Menoach, Would the dove find a resting place after the chaos? And like the dove, Ruth is sent to seek a place of rest in a volatile world. And there are many in our world who are seeking such resting places. And like Noah and Ruth, God remembers them. And God remembers us. Amen.